Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
You're impeached forever. You're never getting rid of that.
Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
It was shameless, and it was also unlawful.
We're going to fight to the death. We're going to get them.
Most Americans agree on a pathway to citizenship.
I think Mitt Romney showed a great deal of courage.
It was all bullshit.
And just like that, all the Democrats loved Pierre Delecto. How about that? Hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us. You heard Bernie Sanders there. Did you hear the rest of them? Did you hear Eric Swalwell and Elizabeth Warren? Go to cuts 19 and 20 there, please.
Senator Romney will favorably be remembered by history. This president will not. And Wolf, his vote yesterday was a bright light in a foggy harbor.
I thought I was listening to a decent and honorable man who stood up and did the right thing.
Yeah, they all love him now, don't you? Remember 2012 when they hated everything that this corporate raider, tax cheat Mitt Romney stood for? And now they think he's the second coming. Huh. Just fascinating that they suddenly love this turncoat and he's their reason for living these days. Because they've got nothing else to look forward to. Basically what it comes down to. They just
need to go back and remember why they hated him before.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, glad you're with us. It is Friday. Hope everybody's in a great mood like we are. Hope you're having a great drive into work this morning, if that's what you're up and doing. And guess what? A little bit later, the legislature of Missouri has been working on fixing the redistricting problem. What is the redistricting problem? You may know it as Clean Missouri. They passed a bill this week that would put it back on the ballot for August, and we're going to get Senator Bob Onder on here at the bottom of the hour at around 8:35 with more details on what that means. You know, you got people who are angry about this, and we're going to talk it over with Bob Onder when we get him on here in just a minute. Right now, though, let's get to the man, the myth, the legend.
Okay. I think he's calling us right back.
Oh, he's not on the phone. No, when I looked up earlier, he was on there.
Yeah, he said he had to call us right back. I thought that's why you were stalling.
Well, we did. It was tough to get Mitt Romney this morning because he's really in demand, but we did have him on line three. I'm just kidding.
Really?
I really am.
Are
I
you?
I am.
That was missed on so many before
Play
you
cut
clarified.
16. Play cut 16 while we're waiting for our guest.
I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. Ah, Jim Carafano. How are you, my friend? You doing well this morning?
It's raining cats and dogs in Washington, D.C. I think that's a line from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I think you're right. It probably raining wherever Mitt Romney is right now, that's for sure.
No comment. Policy, not politics. It's over. Can we get on with the real troubles of the world now?
Well, we got plenty of those, don't we? That's for sure. This whole Ukraine story that, you know, I saw yesterday where some of the people in the House are still going after records from tax records, right, on Hunter Biden.
Right.
We've not heard the last of what's going on with this Ukraine situation. Do you ever expect, Jim, that we're going to see any investigations from the Ukrainian point of view on Burisma, or any? Have you heard any of that?
Well, I actually think, I actually think that Zelensky and the Ukrainians played it about right, which is they really try to walk a line and not essentially give either aid and comfort to the president or ammunition to the opponents. And they say, look, we're focused on the future of the Ukraine. That's our priority. So my guess is, I mean, there'll be some kind of legal cooperation, but from the Ukrainian perspective, they want to put that in their rearview mirror. This is a different government, a different Ukraine, and they're looking forward. And I think that's going to be their priority. And honestly, I would not be surprised if that's the government. And, you know, I think there's a little bad blood and everything else, but I think people are really going to shift to winning the election or fighting the election on its own terms and to the stuff we have to do in the future. Ukraine's in a better place. They have a better relationship with their European neighbors. They're pushing back against Russia. Zelensky's actually developed a relationship with Putin where Putin's just not stepping all over him. He's actually done a decent job with the government. So we really need to focus on the future as opposed to all this other stuff.
I have a question for you. Have you given any thought to this Space Force?
Yeah, there was.
It's time. We've been talking about this for decades, and for every idea of like, yeah, it's a good idea, no, it's a bad idea. There's a reason why we have a force that thinks in terms of what is it like to operate on the sea and the land and the air. Space is just as important. So having people whose first thought is how do we function in the space environment. Space is so critically important. It was time for it to happen.
You know, I saw an article the other day that said, "What is China doing on the dark side of the moon?"
Yeah, there's a lot on that. I actually think it's mostly kind of conspiracy theory. I think actually there's a good chance that we will beat the Chinese back to the moon. But even if we don't, here's the difference. What's different from this in Apollo? When we go to the moon this time, it'll be to establish a persistent presence. So in other words, we might not have people living on the moon, but we're going to have facilities there and be able to do like what we did with the International Space Station. We're going to constantly be able to have a human presence working on the moon, and it will be a platform to go to Mars. And in our lifetime, as long as you quit out all those bad habits you're doing and start getting out on the jogging course there, in our lifetime – you know, you're not just our kids, but you and I, in our lifetime, we will see an American flag on Mars.
Wow. Wow. See, that's huge. People don't think about that. I mean, there's lots of jokes floating around about the Space Force, but they're going to have a large contingent of people assigned to this. Like, I think I read 16,000.
It's mostly about managing the satellites in space, which has become an incredibly complex job. No idea how crowded it is up there. So we are doing exactly right. And the reality is in a decade, all the advanced militaries in the world will have a space force, a dedicated space force.
That's pretty awesome. Maybe you can get a job as an advisor to Space Force. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, actually, one of my analysts is actually an advisor on the National Space Council.
See?
Yeah, I do have to kind of like, dude, don't walk around with the space helmet on.
You get the little red shirt with the little, you know, Star Trek logo on the chest. That'd be awesome.
to the moon, Alice.
One of these days. That's great. Jim, we never have enough time, my friend. Thank you for your time this morning.
Well, thank you for you have the best radio show on the planet Earth, and probably the rest of the people in the universe are listening in, but the stuff you do every week is just awesome, dude.
We appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Checks in the mail. Hi, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
Maybe we'll be the first herd on Mars.
Yes. See?
Exactly when we get what I was when
we should start promoting now.
Radio.com. Download it now. So when we're streaming on Mars, you're already in the know.
Or you could at least say, download it now. Start loading up on the podcasts. So
you'll
as you're on your way to Mars, you'll have them ready to listen to.
I think that there is no reason not to download radio.com and favorite the station.
Plus with great bump music.
only
to go along
on Fridays.
On Fridays.
You're getting a little bit of heat on Twitter, on the Twitter sphere over this White Stripes thing, Mark.
You think? Uh-huh. How have I missed that? Let me see here. Who's giving me grief? It better not be Special K. Let me see here.
Yeah, she is.
Is she? She on there? Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is.
All right. She's I love how
well,
you...
I missed that one, so there must be new ones.
They're,
since the last
they're
time
quoting
I
Trisha. I love how you actively try not to age yourself on this show. And who then, are the White Stripes? Do they volunteer in hospitals? I like Jason's comment.
I think he's
not
mocking.
The Red Stripes.
I think he's mocking you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're going to have a talk.
I like Jason's comment.
Here we go.
Missed that one. All right. Quick break here. Dr. Bob Onder at the bottom of the hour. Will the legislature fix this redistricting mess or not? Let's hope they do. We'll be right back.
I just don't understand what the goal is at that point. Because she knows what Kobe means to the actual culture at the same time. Like they knew what Michael Jackson meant.
But if somebody...
I just don't know what you're trying to do when the men are dead.
That was 50 Cent there giving his opinion on a CBS News clip that aired yesterday. That's something you're not going to see every day. A main anchor on a network taking their network to task over how they tease a story.
Yeah, she was hot.
She got an exclusive interview with Lisa, what was her name?
Lisa Leslie,
who's a former WNBA player who was good friends with Kobe. She got an interview with her, sat down with her, and apparently they had a pretty wide-ranging discussion first about how Kobe Bryant was the greatest human being to ever walk the face of the earth. That's what they talked about first, and eventually they got around to the allegations of the rape he was accused of back in the 2004, I think. And they talked about that briefly. She didn't think it should matter, but that if it was mentioned, it should be mentioned in the context of all the good things he did in his life. She didn't think it was true, but she understood why people would talk about it. So in promoting the story, that's the clip that CBS chose to use to promote the story. They put it out on Twitter. It's just Gayle King seeming to grill Lisa Leslie on that issue. So
it's been said that his legacy is complicated because of a sexual assault charge, which was dismissed in 2003, 2004. Is it complicated for you as a woman, as a WNBA player?
That was what they released as the promotion?
That's like a 2-minute clip. And,
okay.
And it ends with Lisa Leslie.
I think that the media should be more respectful at this time. It's like if you had questions about it, you've had many years to ask him that. I don't think it's something that we should keep hanging over his legacy.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, you know, to see how this turns out. But King was not on the air today. I don't know if she was on vacation or what.
Did you hear the
video? I read she was mad.
Yeah, she was heated.
She actually released a video.
I know that if I had only seen the clip that you saw, I'd be extremely angry with me too. I am mortified, I'm embarrassed, and I am very angry. Unbeknownst to me, my network put up a clip from a very wide-ranging interview. Totally taken out of context, and when you see it that way, it's very jarring. It's jarring to me.
Gayle King was mad because she said that her phone started blowing up after this clip was released. She hadn't seen it. All of her friends, like Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent and a bunch of other people, were texting her. I think the ones that had her phone number texting her, and they couldn't believe what she was doing to Kobe's legacy.
In her position, as her job, don't you? I mean, maybe this is just me. I think that she would have been remiss in a conversation like that to not have at least brought it up. She's too sensitive about it. And it wasn't the entire interview.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she did her job right in focusing on the good things about Kobe Bryant, but to gloss over it or like ignore it, I don't know that she would have been respected for ignoring it.
She did. They didn't do the story the day he died. They didn't do the story the day after he died.
Right.
They did the story here a week and a half after he died. And that was part of the broader conversation. There's no way to avoid it. It's like doing a story on Michael Jackson's death and not mentioning all of the allegations against him over the years of child sex abuse. You, in any interview with somebody who knew him, you couldn't say, how do you think that's going to affect his legacy?
Yeah, I think
that's
the difference between like those kind of things, this is like a one mark on Kobe's life. It wasn't a reflection of...
Was dismissed.
Yeah, well, was dismissed and settled and everything. And Michael Jackson, it was like a lifetime issue.
I get that Gayle King probably needed to ask to some extent. Also, I really thought Lisa Leslie's answer that the media had all of these years to bring that up and to hash that out, now let it lie.
Mm-hmm.
CBS said they dealt with it internally and they would not do that again. So, in other words, we'll ask Gayle next time. Good idea. We'll get to Senator Bob Onder coming up on redistricting. They can't decide.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. It's Decision 2020.
Who the hell wants to change what we're doing now?
Amen there, Mr. President. I tell you what, 2020 is a big year. Most people are looking past August, though, to November. We're going to have some big decisions to make in August of this year, too, I hope. And I've got Senator Bob Onder from District 2 on the line with us right now to talk about that a little bit. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for giving me a few minutes this morning. You know, I wanted to talk to you about this Clean Missouri fix that I know that you guys are working on in the Senate this week.
Absolutely, Mark. You know, ordinarily when you hear the word redistricting, your eyes tend to glaze over. But this is a really important issue. You know, in Barack Obama's administration, his party lost 1,000 seats in state legislatures across the country. So after, as his reign came to a close, Eric Holder and Obama's associates decided to make an effort to go around the country and convince voters to pass redistricting schemes that would gain the far left more seats in those legislatures. So, you know, the Clean Missouri effort, so-called, was funded by over $250,000 of George Soros money, as well as every other crazy left-wing interest out there. And in 2018, in the guise of ethics reform, the voters of Missouri were convinced to pass Clean Missouri. And what Clean Missouri was really about is this gerrymandering on steroids that would be overseen by a highly partisan Democrat demographer to draw constitutional conservatives out of districts.
Well, and, you know, I'm glad you're pointing that out, because normally it's the left screaming about gerrymandering and going to court and trying to stop it and claiming that it's keeping them out of office. But in this particular case, oddly enough, you're going to get support from a lot of Democrats, particularly in the minority caucus, who see this as damaging to their own districts, right? Because they're going to have to draw districts that look like a dog's hind leg to get anything close to their goal here, right?
Well, that's right. That's right. You could have someone in Fenton or Jefferson County or St. Charles County voting in the same district as someone from North St. Louis. And, you know, that's not only going to be, you know, damaging to Republicans in those areas, but to some of the minority Democrats who hold these seats in the urban areas. So, yes, there were a number of organizations representing minority voters who opposed the Clean Missouri initiative in 2018. And I hope to get support for the Clean Missouri fix that we passed on Tuesday in the Missouri Senate from those same folks.
Yeah. And what exactly would it do? Would it go back to the way things were? Because we had a bipartisan panel that sat down and looked at redrawing the districts so that you had input from both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. It would go back to a bipartisan panel respecting the principles of one person, one vote, respecting our federal voting rights laws, not unnecessarily cutting up counties or cities or communities of interest. And that bipartisan panel would draw the district lines, and that would be appealable, as it often was, to the courts to ensure fairness. And Mark, states that have systems of redistricting that are more prone to gerrymandering have always looked to the Missouri system and systems like it as the is the best practice for redistricting. So there really was no need to change what had served Missouri well for many years. You know, this was the system used to draw districts back when Missouri was a blue state, as well as now with it being a red state.
Yes.
So there's no reason why Eric Holder and George Soros should be telling Missourians how to draw our districts.
And I try to get the word out on this program, because inevitably what you see in social media is this claim that somehow the Republicans in the legislature or legislators are trying to overturn the will of the people. And my point is, Clean Missouri didn't present itself as a redistricting plan. It claimed to, you know, trying to fix lobbyists giving too much to influence legislators, and this thing was tucked in the back of it, and it was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, that's right, Mark. George Soros and Narrow and Planned Parenthood and the anti-gun groups couldn't give a whit whether legislators take lobbyist gifts or not. What they cared about was drawing themselves districts that could elect more progressive legislators. So we will in the Clean Missouri Fix, we will completely ban lobbying gifts, because that definitely seems to be something Missourians want. At the same time, we will give Missourians a chance to restore the traditional, much fairer, truly bipartisan system of drawing district maps.
Well, hopefully we've got some people who are willing to go out and campaign on behalf of this, because the people that pushed it the last time, I'm sure, are going to be out there fighting you with a lot of money. If we don't have some organized effort to educate voters, I'm afraid this thing will fail in August. Do you know of any groups that are going to be doing that?
Yeah, I think there will be such groups. Unfortunately, I think in 2018 there were too many politicians campaigning for a gas tax increase rather than fighting the threat of the progressive groups that wanted to change our political system in Missouri. So, absolutely, there will be an effort to get the Clean Missouri Fix passed.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. The other thing I know the Conservative Caucus is kind of focusing on is the prescription drug monitoring plan. That's something that came up last year. It's being talked about again this year. What's your take on that? What's the Conservative Caucus trying to do with this issue?
Yes, Mark. My take on the PDMP programs that are now in place in St. Louis County is that not only do they interfere with the right of privacy by putting our health records in a government database, but they just flat out don't work, and there's some evidence they can be counterproductive. In Missouri, in the last year, opioid death rates have increased only in those counties with PDMP.
Wow.
Now, and it's not because of the PDMP, Mark. It's really because of the availability of fentanyl in Kansas City and St. Louis and Springfield. Those cities, of course, being on the major interstate routes up from Mexico to the east. So really, with PDMP, it sounds nice. Everyone wants to do something about the opioid epidemic, but Missouri has always ranked right in the middle of the pack in terms of opioid deaths. Again, but for those urban areas where the fentanyl epidemic is raging on,
right,
Missouri's opioid deaths would be down. And certainly the PDMP in St. Louis, Kansas City, Springfield, Columbia has not prevented an increase of opioid deaths in those areas.
So there's still been an effort to get this voted on statewide, right? Is that what you're fighting?
Oh no. Some folks are trying to do, and it seems to be moving quickly through both houses. It's already been passed out of a House committee and been heard in the Senate Judiciary Committee, on which I serve. And the effort is to impose PDMP and government monitoring of one's prescription drugs statewide. Yes, that is an active effort, and again, one that I have not supported.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate the update on that, Bob. Thank you, and keep us up to date as we move along here on this.
I absolutely will, Mark. Thank you.
You bet. Senator Bob Onder joining us this morning from District 2 And, you know, Friday, so they've got the day off, but clearly in the middle of the session right now. So we'll keep you up to date on both of those issues as they move along. Looks like certainly the redistricting issue is going to be back on the ballot in August. Focus here. That's going to be important. 314-241-9797. What say you? How do you feel about PDMP, prescription drug monitoring? I know a lot of people felt strongly about that last year. I'll get to your phone calls coming up.
Like a stone, and I feel heavy.
Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
Wish we'd known we'll blow away with this new sun.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
The brilliance of Ron Swanson. Always refreshing.
Such
always
a great
good
show.
To remember. Really, really was funny. It was a funny show. We were just talking about shows that that we're watching here on. You said you don't want to watch you. Necessarily,
not really.
By yourself?
I mean, everyone seems to like it, but something about it doesn't. I don't know. I'm being dragged kicking and screaming into potentially watching.
Have you not seen the first? You've
no,
never seen the
I've
first
never,
season.
I've never
either?
Seen it. No.
Oh, it's pretty fascinating.
It's worth a watch. It
is.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Just about some psycho stalker.
Yeah.
But he's got you kind of feel sympathetic for him at times. It's just
Mark's
weird.
The guy that ruins shows for you when you tell him you might watch something. I have
Why?
A feeling.
And I'm getting very nervous for our entire audience.
Why? No, I'm not going to ruin anything. Come on. I'm not.
Okay.
I would never have watched that. My wife hasn't said, oh, we need to watch you, and turned it on. She'd
it's
read the
very
book,
good.
Though. She read the book. And,
oh, it's
you know,
a book?
The show deviates from the book some, but that's understandable with TV shows. They didn't have
good.
To do that.
Have you all watched Dead to Me yet?
Yes.
That
I watched
good.
Dead
no.
too. That was good.
That's Christina Applegate and Linda Cardinelli. It's awesome.
I'm not
it's
sure
dark.
That would,
it's
know
a
if
dark
you would
comedy.
Like that or not. Well, I don't know.
I started
it
watching
is good,
Homeland.
I
started watching I watched the first couple episodes of Homeland.
That's wrapping up, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit so I'm on season one still, and I think it's had eight seasons, so I think it's over.
Homeland. Who's in Homeland?
Clara Danes, I believe.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and do that.
I haven't watched that either.
I'm binging The Stranger on Netflix now. It's their new British drama, crime drama series.
Kind of embarrassed to say I watched Shameless. I haven't seen
a lot of people.
I haven't
love that
seen
show.
The whole thing, but I watched one or two episodes, like somewhere in the middle of it. So I didn't see it from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch this last season of it, and that's just a weird show. But it's like a train wreck. You can't stop watching it.
It was really good at the beginning, and because I liked it so much at the beginning, because I enjoyed the characters, like the character development on that show,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that I stuck with it, but it started to really go off the rails. like so beyond
way,
ridiculous.
Way off the rails.
Yes.
Yeah. William H. Macy, though.
What an amazing
character.
He's
an amazing actor.
Yes.
He really is. And he has to keep working because his wife almost went to prison in the college scandal. So, right?
She's out. She's served her time.
I know. She
All
served
well.
15 days and got out, so.
I don't have any hard feelings towards her. That Aunt Becky, on the other hand, that woman.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Just because she didn't plead guilty?
Throw the book at her.
Why was completely it a different level?
Completely different levels.
Different level and arrogant and denying and just stop it. You got caught.
Yeah, they did different. They didn't do the same thing. Like they did the cheating, like the scandal about it is Aunt Becky took it to another level.
Mm-hmm. And she was just so stuck up and elitist about
yes.
the consequences.
Whereas Felicity Huffman, at least, I mean,
owned
what
it.
She did wasn't.
I screwed up. A lot of people
was bad.
Do this.
Wasn't Aunt Becky level bad. And she did. She just took it.
Yeah.
She's just like, I made a mistake.
I guess.
I need my own soapbox thing for that
Go
woman.
Ahead. You do need one of those. That's good.
All right.
You know, I'm taking a fishing trip this year. I'm
Good
excited about
you.
It. To Canada, all right, to Alaska. I'm sorry, got
to
fly over Canada to get there. And
You'll
I've
be
been
able
trying
to, see
to find.
From there.
You know what I've determined? You know what I've determined? That it's yeah, you can. It's maybe I'll see her. You think I'll see her while I'm up
maybe.
There?
Maybe
that's awesome. You cannot get cheap airfare to Canada. Do you know that?
I believe that.
It's not possible to get cheap airfare to Canada.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
Sarah Palin.
Airfare is expensive anyway.
I flew to Dublin for $440 a person, to round trip to Dublin, Ireland, and you cannot get to Alaska for under $600. And that's cramped economy where you're having to pay extra for to take a couple of bags with you. I mean, it's $1,400 for any like first class, and it's $900 for business class. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I'm trying to figure out how to get to New Orleans, which is only a 10-hour drive for less than $600 round trip right now.
Oh, my.
I'm going in May. It's not like I'm going at Mardi Gras. And ticket prices are starting round trip at about $450 to get 10 hours.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing.
What in the world?
I started planning that drive.
I wish Southwest flew to Alaska, but they don't. Do you see where they're giving their employees 6 weeks of pay, extra pay this year?
Oh, that's really?
Cool.
That's
nice. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
So they had a rough 2019, but they still managed to turn a profit. And as part of their annual tradition, they're sharing their profit with their 60,000 employees. And they're splitting a $667 million profit-sharing bonus. And the eligible employees are going to get 12.2% of their annual salary, which is roughly like an additional 6 weeks of pay for most of them. For others, they can opt to get it added to their retirement accounts.
Oh.
Good for them. Yeah. I got a good friend that works for him down in Florida. So
nice.
Hope he got to
Can he
take
get
advantage
us a hookup on anything?
I don't know. I'll have to check.
How
He's
good
in the
of
baggage
a friend
department.
Are we talking?
I don't know if he can do that or not. That's awesome.
Get sneak us in.
Hey, have a great weekend, folks. And we will be, let's see, Kilmeade's up next. Annie Fry, noon to 3. We'll see you Monday morning starting at 5.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.